great importance during this holiday season. Sometimes families are not able to be together, and I understand that, but I sure am grateful that we was able to be with our family this year, and what a blessing it is just to share a meal together, have time together, and to visit with them, and to see what God has not only done in our lives, but in their lives, and what He'll do if we will follow Him and be obedient to Him. That's behind us now, and we begin a new chapter, especially on this coming Friday on New Year's Day. We start out fresh and anew in 2021. Many people say they're glad or will be glad when 2020 is over. I venture to say, as I said already this morning, I'm grateful we had some trials. We had some difficulties in 2020, no doubt about it. But as I said before, God was there with us through it all. He never left us, and He still blessed us. I text Brother Dwight, or he was texting me this week, and we said something about 2020 being over and being kind of bad. But then I think he takes back and said, but God's been good, or it's been a good year or something. And literally, it has been a good year. We're alive today, aren't we? We're able to be here. What a blessing that is. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look with me. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Today, what the passage of Scripture I'm going to read encompasses literally the entire 40 years of wandering in the wilderness by the children of Israel. Now, again, the passage of Scripture don't mention anything about their wandering, but it mentions their beginning and their end, and they're literally in the middle of that at this point. If you have your Bibles, verse number 20, the Bible said, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord thy God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us a land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." Our Father, Lord, today we do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for answered prayer in our lives, and Lord, we're grateful today that we can gather together and worship you in this place today. And as we close out this year on this Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, Lord, we look back and we reflect. And yes, there's been some bad times and some difficult times, but Lord, truly today, we can see some positive things, some good things that you have done for us. I pray now that you'd have your will and way, guide and direct, we pray, and we'll thank you now for what you do in Jesus' name. We ask and pray, amen. Now, literally what we see here, as I mentioned, it doesn't mention anything about the 40 years. However, they're in the middle of that right now. But he talks about when thy son asketh thee in time. There's nothing any greater than to be able to share with your children the blessings of God and the answer to prayer that God does for us in our life as we serve him. I believe today, as I have gone through my life, I look back and I remember my dad and the great example that he set for me. He was a man that loved God, a man that served God, a man that was faithful to God, and I saw God work in their lives, and I know God will work in our lives. Now, where they're at, I don't know exactly, but I believe in this passage of Scripture, they're somewhere in the middle. That's why I entitled the message today, Stuck in the Middle. They're in the middle of their wilderness wanderings. They're going through some difficult times, but they're remembering what God did for them in the past, and they're reminded of what God has done for them in the future. Now, Israel at this point may be experiencing a great deal of hardship, but they have a bright future ahead of them. And can I remind you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a bright future ahead for you, because one day we'll be with Him. Now, before they got into this wandering that they're going through, they had some terrible pain that they left down in Egypt behind them. And they had many unanswered questions around them about what was going on. But what they experienced in their deliverance from Egypt was God delivered them and set them on a journey to Canaan. And their entrance into Canaan is something that he talks about. Is he said, I brought you out in order that I might bring you in. When Israel experienced this, We find they were going through a great deal of hardship and difficulty in Egypt. They were taskmasters, if you will. But God raised up a man named Moses, and Moses came and was to lead them out. Moses went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh to let his children go. He rebelled and refused on many occasions, and so God had to send some plagues into the land to get their attention. And Pharaoh finally released them, but they had to pay dearly for the refusal of what Pharaoh did during that time. Now we find them, they're free from Egypt. They're in the middle of their journey, or somewhere in the middle, and they're headed for Canaan land. What a joy it must have been to think about where they were headed to and what they were going to do. But I want you to know today that I want to take this passage of Scripture and relate to you, I believe, somewhere about you and I. I believe we too today are stuck in the middle. I believe we're in the middle of being delivered from our sin, but yet the future holds heaven for us. Now, no way am I saying that Canaan is a type of heaven, because it's not. Heaven is going to be a place where there's not going to be any sin, there's not going to be any wars, and there's not going to be any fighting and all those things. However, I do believe today that God was giving them Canaan in that day, and today for us, He's prepared a place called heaven, and even for them, He had prepared a place for heaven, but He was leading them to Canaan land. I want you to notice with me this morning three aspects about their journey. You know, every one of us, when we're born in this world, we start a journey. We start our journey home. Believe me, today I'm closer home than I've ever been. And so are you. Every day that you live, we get closer to that wondrous home that God has given to us. The first thing I want you to notice this morning, there was a glorious exit when they left Egypt. Now, Israel endured 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They were forced to work for the Egyptian taskmasters. They saw their people suffer. They saw their children die. The years of bondage in Egypt were a time of horrific suffering. I can only imagine what it must have been like. But thank God, God raised up Moses to lead them out. And as they think about it, as for Israel, I believe today we look back and see what they experienced. But again, we can relate that even in our own life. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I got born again by the Spirit of God, God set my feet upon a rock and He established my going. He has prepared a place for me in heaven, and I'm on my journey there now. I don't know when I'll get there, but He does. And I know today that I must follow Him and be obedient to Him. And so even today, we're kind of in the middle too. Because now those of us who have been saved, we have passed the part of the suffering. And well, wait a minute, I'll back up a little bit. We're still going to have suffering in this world. But the bondage is what I'm saying. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. We have been delivered from that bondage. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid for our salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. When Jesus died on the cross, not only did He pay for our salvation, but He rose from the dead. He provided a way for a new life. Friend, today the only ones that are going to heaven are those who choose to go to heaven, those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ, confess their sin, and ask Him to come into their heart and save them. What is it that we were saved from? Well, the Bible said over in the book of Ephesians, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. But in chapter number 2 and verse number 1 through 3, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Friend, I'm telling you, God delivered us. I'll tell you today, it's only by His mercy that we're even able to be here today and worship Him and lift His name up above all else. What the radical depravity that we were living in during that time. We were given into the power of the flesh, the power of the devil, and the power of the world. It was a life that literally held for us judgment and hell fire. But the moment we got saved and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God saved us and delivered us, even as he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, who were working under the taskmasters there in that time. Friend, I want to say today the greatest gift I ever received was the gift of salvation. I'm glad today to know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't look to die, and I'm not wanting to die. But I tell you what, when I do die, I know what the Bible said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And what a blessing and joy it will be. Second of all, we see what we were saved by. I'm grateful today that we were saved and delivered by the power of God. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's talking about the devil. But we know today that our God is a God that rules the universe. He has control over the devil. He has the control over our lives. And he's able to give us what we need as we worship him. And when God saved us, it was nothing more than the power of God that did it. And where does that power come from? It comes from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love the songs about the blood. There's power in the blood. Amen. And there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ satisfied God. According to 1 John 2:2, it provided salvation for every person who will repent of their sin and believe the gospel by faith. I'm just one of those that believe that everybody can be saved. You say, why you believe that? Because the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The blood of the Lord Jesus satisfied God. It provided the salvation that we needed. And Israel was saved by the judgment of God, by placing the blood of a sacrificial lamb on the doorpost of their home, if you'll remember. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What are we saved to? We're saved to a glorious future. I hear people talking about, I heard something the other day, and people was talking about what was going to be in heaven. And I wouldn't even tell you what some people were saying, because to me, it was blasphemy. It bordered on blasphemy. But I'm going to tell you something. Heaven is not a party house. It's not a social circle. And it's not a place where we're just going to be happy and do what we want to all the time in our life. I believe it's going to be a place the Lord has saved us. And he's given us the opportunity to live down here a life, but he's given us the opportunity to live an abundant life. But when we get saved and when we do die, we go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I miss my family all the time, but I miss some of my family, especially during Christmas time. Susan and I, we made our little trek out to the cemetery yesterday, as we do every Christmas morning. We went to the graves there, my family and my son, and we did as we always did. We read the Christmas story, and we prayed, and we asked God for his strength and for his guidance. And I'm going to tell you something today. I long to see my loved ones when I get to heaven. But friend, today, that's not the primary thing I want to see or the person I want to see. I want to see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that made it possible for me to one day see them again. And I know in time that I will. When life ends, heaven awaits those who put their faith and trust in God. I have a hard time understanding how people ignore God. Christmas is a time of year when everybody celebrates, believers and unbelievers. The believers celebrate the birth of the Savior. The unbelievers just celebrate to be celebrating, to have something to celebrate. Many times with alcohol and drugs and all kind of things that is contrary to the Word of God. But for the child of God, we're on a journey. And friend, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And those men that I mentioned to you in the bulletin today that have departed this life, listen, I want you to know we miss them. I tell you, it's just left a big hole in our church, and it's going to be hard to replace. In fact, we'll never replace it. But I guarantee you one thing, they're enjoying the benefit and the blessings of that blessed place that God has prepared for those who love him. what we were saved for. The question is, why would the Lord save us? There's only one word that'll describe why God saved us: for His glory, in order that we might lift Him up and exalt Him above all else. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. I tell you, we ought to be living in such a way that we reflect Jesus so strongly that it ought to be like a magnet that brings people to Jesus. Unfortunately, we don't see it that way always. But I know today that God is able and God will work through us. God saved us for His glory. He delivered us from sin for His glory. Living in sin, by the way, does not bring glory to God. In fact, it hurts the cause of Christ more than anything. But He gives us a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. He gives us a new life for His glory. He uses us in the world for His glory. I'm grateful today for the years God's given me to preach the Word of God, the pastor, and to see what God's done in this place. But let me tell you, I'm thankful for the people that have been a part of this work and part of this church and has worked and labored and helped us in the work that we've done. I'm grateful for that. But you know what? It was all about one thing: to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the years, we've seen some great victories at Victory. And people often say, man, I hear some good things about the church. I hear you growing and I hear things that was going on in the past, and I wish we were at that stage now. But we've had some exciting things happen at Victory. But friend, we don't need to take credit for that. We need to say, only by the grace of God do we have what we have. He said, here is my Father glorified, that you may bear fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You know what? God gets the glory when a person gets saved. When you lead somebody to Christ, God gets the glory. Amen. Friend, today people look around and understand that when we produce fruit, we do it by yielding our will to His will, by allowing Him to live in us. When you get saved, by the way, He does live in you. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you, but we cannot do it apart from Him. Friend, there's no glory will go to God apart from working alongside of Him and allowing Him to work in our life. Like ancient Israel, God delivered them out of Egypt. I've not been to Egypt, but I tell you, I was living in bondage of sin when the Lord saved me, forgave me, and gave me an awesome opportunity to begin a new life and a new journey to serve Him and love Him and be faithful to Him. What a glorious thing this morning. If you don't have any, you know, I tell you, I don't even know how you separate Thanksgiving and Christmas. I tell you, it's good they come back to back and close together, but I tell you, Christmas ought to be a Thanksgiving time as much as anything. So we rejoice in what God has done. Second of all, and we see there's a glorious exit, but there's a grand entrance. Now, God's promise to Israel was bring them into a land of their own. It was a better land. I mean, anything would be better than the wilderness. Anything would be better than in Egypt. And the Bible said this land was described in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. It's a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Canaan was a land that God had promised them. He had prepared for the people of Israel. God had brought them out of Egypt. And by their own disobedience, it caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But He still was taking them to a land that would be their own land. It would be a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we're not headed to Canaan this morning. We're headed to heaven. We're headed to the place the Lord has prepared for us. And I want you to know, thank the Lord, there's a better place waiting on the people of God when they leave this world. I don't know if there'll be any milk and honey in heaven, but I know one thing. Well, I know several things. I know there's going to be a street of gold. How you know that? Because the Bible said in Revelation 21, verse 4, there's going to be some gates of pearl. There's going to be some walls of jasper. I tell you, sometimes down here, people, in fact, a great majority of people that are saved will never experience gold or pearls or jasper. But when we get to heaven, we're going to walk on the street of gold. And we're going to enjoy the beauty of the pearls and jasper. I know there will be a foundation of precious stones to support the city. I know because the Bible tells me in Revelation 21 that there's going to be a crystal river. I know there's going to be angels in heaven because the Bible tells us that the angels fell down at the feet of Jesus and worshiped Him, singing praise to Him for all that He had done. I tell you today, somebody talks about we're going to be like angels. We're going to be flying around. I don't know that. I just know there's angels there. But I know one thing. Whatever God has, the Bible said we shall be like Him. And we shall see Him as He was. I do know that those who have departed from this life are going to be there. The Bible teaches that, even the book of Revelation. I'm grateful that one day we're going to see our loved ones again. I tell you today, I can't imagine. I mentioned a while ago about Christmas and family. I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to misunderstand me today, but I want to live for the Lord, and I love the Lord for what He's done for me. But in this life, at this stage in my life, apart from Him, I'm thankful for my family and the blessings of my family and to be able to spend time with them and to see what God's doing in their lives. But I could not stand the thought of thinking that my family had never been saved and born again by the Spirit of God. I think today, and I've lost a great deal of my family. We lost our son. Others have been lost to death and early in life. But I'm grateful today that I have the assurance of their salvation, their own testimony. And I know they're going to be there because the Lord said that He had prepared a place for us. Hey, something else, there'll be no night there. Somebody said, well, I'm going to miss out on my sleep, and I don't think you want to sleep, and I'm not sure about all that, but I tell you, night is a lonesome, long time. How many of you have laid awake at night in pain and could not go to sleep, and it seemed as if night would never end, only to rejoice when the sun began coming up in the morning? Yet I want you to know today, the sun is going to always be up in heaven, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And what a blessing that's going to be. I do know there'll be no sin there. Can you imagine living in a place where there is no sin? Man, I tell you, y'all pray for the folks of Nashville, Tennessee, the businesses, the people affected, those officers who heroically got out the people as many as they could. I heard the other day that one of the officers was deaf from the explosion. But I'm telling you, that's sin and that's evil that people do in this world that we live in below. I do know that the devil won't be there, praise the Lord, because the Bible said he's going to be cast into the lake of fire eventually. Right now he's roaming the earth and he's making his rounds and he's doing all he can to tear us up and bring us down. But I know the devil will not be there. I do know that there will be no sorrow or pain there because he tells me there won't. Can you imagine a world with no pain, no sorrow? But most of all, I'm glad today that my Lord Himself will be there. I do know that our crucified, risen, and victorious Lord will be there. And I know all these things more besides that. But what I do know is there's a place called heaven, and the people of God will dwell there someday. The Lord has brought us out of sin in order that He might bring us into heaven. And basically, maybe however long, we're not going to get 400 years of wandering, I can tell you that. But our years of wandering down here is kind of symbolic of what Israel did. They were delivered, and then they experienced 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And as a result of that, here they find themselves kind of stuck in the middle, but there's hope on the other end. And I tell you what, we've been kind of stuck this year with something we've never experienced before. At least I don't think any of you is old enough to maybe remember the last pandemic. But we've experienced things that we've never experienced before. But I tell you what, I'm glad that I've been delivered from my sin. I'm glad that I'm on my journey. And I'm glad one day that heaven is going to be my home. A glorious exit, a grand entrance, but thirdly, a gruesome experience. When you read about Israel, and everything they endured in the wilderness journey, it becomes clear that being in the wilderness was a terrible time of suffering, death, and pain. Those 40 years were years of trials, wars, judgment, death, sickness, and terror. It was a horrible time for the Israelites. Yes, they enjoyed many wonderful blessings from the hand of God, but they also endured much pain. Remember, we're just a people on our journey. When the Lord delivered us out of our bondage of sin and slavery, He brought us into His family. But that's not where the journey ends. That's where the journey begins. And our journey ends only when we get to heaven. Friend, I'm telling you what, I don't know what 2021 holds. I don't know if things could be worse than they were in 2020. I pray not. But the fact of it is, it should not come as a surprise to us, because the Bible said, in this world we will have tribulation. We will experience hardships. But I'm glad today that He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Many wars and judgments, many tribulations. While the way might grow hard, the blessings of God we enjoy along the way will be a blessing and encouragement in our heart. Friend, I'm going to tell you, in spite of everything that's happened to me in my life, I tell you, I can't feel nothing but love and praise to my Savior for watching over me and protecting me and guiding me through all that we do. Why is it that we're in this journey? Why is it that we experience all these terrible things? First of all, because we're pilgrims. A pilgrim is somebody that's just passing through. This earth is not our home. We're headed to a place called heaven where we may live in the world, and while we do, we must remember that the world is enemy territory. This world is against our Lord. In fact, He said, if they're against me, they're going to be against you. And even while we're here, we need to understand that while we're in this world, we're not of the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the I can't quote it now. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He will help us to make the pilgrimage through to the other life. I think of the song that we sing sometime around here. It will be worth it all. We see Christ. Friend, I want you to know today, no heartache is too great to overshadow the joy at the end of the journey when we experience the time that we have with Him. We're just pilgrims. But thank God today, He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. What a joy it is today to know that I may be a pilgrim, but He watches over me and protects me. Second of all, we're a needy people. While we're on this journey, we face many needs in our life. We have a gracious, giving Father who promises to take care of us all the way home. I think today of so many people that have sick loved ones. I see people take care of their loved ones right up to the end, to do everything they can to make them comfortable, to help them with everything there is. But friend, I'm glad today that God promised us He would help us. He said He'd supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. And believe me, His riches are never exhausted. We're a weak people. As we travel this way, it's hard. There's times when our steps grow weary. But our God is faithful to all the enemies we face. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that every time the children of Israel encountered the enemy, God would take care of them, and God would defeat them and help the Israelites as long as they were obeying God and doing what He would have them to do. The emphasis of this verse is to understand is their ability to give them what they needed along the way. What it does mean here is God's able to face anything. Somebody the other day, and people quote this, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be cute or ugly about it. But I just picked up on this a while back, and we just think about it when you say it. But a lot of times the people will say, well, the Lord said He's not going to put more on us than we're able to bear. Well, He's talking about temptation, and that's the next point that I'm getting to in just a minute. He's talking about He'll not tempt us with anything, but He never said He would not put more on us than we bear. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, preacher. You said He was there to take care of us. And I heard this somewhere else, and it just struck a chord with me, and I think about it all the time. God will never put more on us than we're able to bear, but He will never put more on us than He is able to bear. And there's a big difference, because we have to depend upon Him. We have to trust Him to meet the needs in our life. There's grace for you in everything you face in this life. We are tempted. As we all know, the flesh is weak. We're susceptible to the traps of the devil. We are tempted to sin, but we have the help of the Lord. He empowers us to weather the storm successfully. He can help us, because guess what? He's already been there. He was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, and He knows how to deliver us. And you know how He did it? He did it by the Word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And oftentimes He said, get thee behind me, Satan, in order that you might depart from me. But I'm glad today that we're preserved. My grandmother used to make preserves. She used to fix jellies and do the jars. Some of you ladies may still do that. But that means you can put them on the shelf. And I tell you, when they put that wax seal around it and that top pops, when it seals, it's going to be good for a while. I don't know how long. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to eat it after 30 years or so. I don't know how long, but it preserves it. It gets it in a place where it will last forever. Friend, and by the way, could I say this? When God saves us, He gives us eternal life. And we're preserved. I tell you what, the journey may get rough. And we might not understand the journey and the whys of the journey. But friend, we are preserved until the day that He calls us home to be with Him in heaven. What God begins, He always finishes. If you come back tonight, I'm going to speak on the joy of the Christian life. And I'm going to be looking at Philippians 1:6. But I want you to know today, God always finishes what He started. And I tell you, we must be somewhere in the middle. If you're saved today, if you've been delivered from sin, from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, if you're saved, you're going to find yourself in heaven one day. Right now, you're just on the way home. We aren't stuck here, as I used the word a while ago. It may not seem like it today, but one day the journey is going to end and we're going home. I was singing a song the other night called Going Home. I'll tell you, one day we're going home. All the people that I've buried this year, they completed their journey this year. And they graduated to the place that God had prepared for them. And those that got to enter into Canaan enjoyed the blessings. But yet we know there was few because of all the things that took place. But God had prepared a place for them. And they were on a journey. And friend, you and I are on a journey this morning. Thank the Lord we've made it thus far. I don't know. I look forward to next year. I look forward to the next year. But I look forward to one day when my journey's over, being with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was D.L. Moody that said this. May have been somebody else. They said, if you read in the paper where I've died, he said, it's not true. He said, I'll be more alive now then than I have ever been, because I'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just kind of stuck in the middle right now. We're just kind of going through some difficulty, things we don't understand, things we can't comprehend, but God knows, and He's prepared a place for us, and we're headed to it, and one day we'll live with Him forever. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity that's ours to be able to come together. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be on this journey. There's a lot of people's journey that's cut short for various reasons, perhaps we know not of. But, Lord, I thank You today that You give me 70 years on this journey. Lord, I don't know how much longer I've got. But I know one thing, when I come to the end of my journey, I'm going to be home in the presence my Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today if there's one here that does not know Thee as their Savior, Lord, they might turn to Thee, put their faith and trust in You, believe on You. And Father, we just thank You for what You do and what You're going to do for us. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Hymn number
638, I Need Thee Every Hour.